maybe in first or second grade. And that was mostly due to we'd have young priests like myself coming over for dinner, and they would play sports with us. They'd play basketball, they'd play tag, and I'd see them at the altar, and they were wearing beautiful vestments, and they just looked really cool. So I looked up to these priests as kind of role models, as any sports figure. And I thought, like, I want to be like them. So even when I was very young, when people would ask me, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, I'd tell them two things. I'd tell them I wanted to be a priest and an NFL football player. And since I haven't been drafted in the last few drafts, I went with priesthood. A shift started to occur, though, when I was later on in middle school, when I began serving at Mass as an altar server in my home parish, is the Basilica of St. Josaphat. And being on the altar kind of gave me a different view of priesthood, being that close to them as they celebrated Mass, to the point where seeing that how much love, reverence, and joy they got from receiving or from celebrating Mass just really struck a chord in my heart. That now I didn't want to just be a priest because they were really cool and they did cool things, but because the Mass seemed to be something worth sacrificing for, worth giving my life for, to the point that Sundays weren't just something I didn't go to Mass just because my family was going to Mass, but it was something that I wanted to do myself, that I looked forward to in the week. And even to the point where if I wasn't serving, it felt like something was missing. It's like I wanted to be part of the Mass serving. I wanted to be as close to the altar as I could get. Because the priests showed that with their love and reverence, that it showed me that they really believed what they were doing. That really helped solidify my faith that this wasn't just something that my parents have told me, but this was real. And so in middle school, the priesthood started to take on this more spiritual identity. Then high school came around, and it's kind of natural in those years, as every high schooler starts to undergo many questions and doubts about their faith, I was kind of undergoing the same thing, although Sunday always remained really important to me in serving. It kind of was my anchor to the faith. And as is right and just, also in high school, I also had a crush. There was a girl that I had a big crush on in high school, and this already started to create a tension, because now there was this two desires that I had, this desire for priesthood, but this desire for dating this girl. I wasn't quite sure what to do with that. But I knew very early on that this call to priesthood was deeply seated in my heart. And I knew that even as if I went and dated this girl, the relationship wouldn't go anywhere. Because I knew that I had to figure out if God really wanted me to be a priest. And so I was a freshman in college, and I didn't date this girl because I knew that I had to find out what God wanted me to do first before I could make a decision. So my answer came, as I've mentioned before, I was at in adoration on a Wednesday night as a freshman in college, and it was at St. Robert's Parish in Shorewood. I remember exactly where I was. I was kneeling on the left side of the church, right next to one of their giant pillars, and as I was gazing at our Lord in the Eucharist, I saw him there for the very first time, like truly there, like I knew he was there. I'd always been told that Jesus was in the Eucharist, and I believed it, but this was the first time I truly encountered him there. I knew for a fact that he was right in front of me. And it was a very brief moment, and yet in that brief moment, there was this one thing that just erupted from my heart, and it was that question. Lord, do you want me to be a priest? And I heard him distinctly and immediately respond, yes. So I remember driving home that night just giddy with excitement and joy. I remember telling my parents, and I applied to seminary and was accepted and entered college seminary at Loyola as a sophomore. And it's interesting because if you hear priests and seminarians share their story, that's often where their story ends. It's like when they enter into seminary, and it's almost like, okay, we got the answer from our Lord, now we're just going to go and become a priest. It's not always the case, because a lot happened in those 7 years of seminary. And the biggest tension for me, which created a lot of highs and lows, was that even though I knew for a fact what God wanted me to do, the next question was, is that what I wanted to do? Did I want to be a priest for sure? And that created a lot of tension in my relationship with God, because I still had this desire for marriage and family life in my heart. And so it became a question of what happens when God is asking me to do something I don't know if I want to do. What do I do? So it created a lot of difficult moments, because at times I felt forced into it, because how can I say no to God? He told me I should do this. And so I experienced anger towards God. Why would you ask me to do something that I'm not quite fully on board with? I still was. I still wanted to. Either the desire for priesthood was there, but there was a lot of confusion. And so I knew, though, that the one thing I knew for sure was that God wanted me to be a priest. He had told me. And so I was in college seminary, and I remember telling him in adoration again. I remember kneeling there, and I told him, it was during one of my low points, but I told him, Lord, like, I know you told me you want me to be a priest, so I don't care what I'm feeling today. I don't care if I want to leave tomorrow. I don't care how angry I am. I don't care what I'm feeling. I don't care about any of that. I know for a fact that you told me you want to be a priest. So I'm going to remain in seminary unless you very clearly tell me to leave. I just place it all on him. So it doesn't matter what I'm feeling. Well, he obviously never told me to leave. So here I am. But I even remember that last week before diaconate ordination, that's the ordination for when you become a deacon and you make kind of the big promises, celibacy, obedience, and things like that. It's the most difficult week before of my entire life, because I was terrified. I was terrified about what was going to happen at the end of the week. I didn't know exactly what I was doing. It comes up much quicker than we expect, right, Alex? I wasn't know if I was capable of doing it. It's most difficult. And I remember going to Father Luke Strand, our vocations director that week, and telling him all this, telling how scared I was. And he was very comforting and consoling. He said, I'm scared for you too. I was like, great. Thank you, Father. That's wonderful. But it was very comforting in the moment to realize that my feelings were exactly what I should be feeling. I will say, though, on that Saturday, I woke up, and it was the most beautiful day and happiest day of my entire life, except for when I was ordained a priest 6 months ago. And I couldn't believe the beauty of this life, that after 6 months of priesthood, that God knew exactly what my desires were and how to fulfill them in a way I could not possibly imagine. For I had, like this woman, I had this one small desire for family, and I didn't want to give that up. And yet when I did, he gave me countless families to be a part of. His overabundance and generosity. And so I just want to say on this, as we kick off this vocation weekend, that pray for our priests, religious, and seminarians. We have Alex Kren here, who's going to be ordained a deacon at the end of this year, God willing. I notice I'm going to call her out. Leah Rogan, is she here? Oh, she's not here. Okay. Whoop, my bad. But she's a dear friend of mine, entering into religious life. So just pray for all of those who are entering into their vocation, just because, if we're honest, that when we see people truly live out their vocation and throw their two small coins in, we realize just how much God can do with that, and how much inspires all of us to live our vocations well. Because God truly will not give us desires that he will not fulfill.